Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great. Another week has gone by.
I know.
Wow.
Too fast.
Yeah, it's like 10 minutes go by, and next thing you know, it's another week. But anyway, and I don't even remember what we're doing. Oh, yes, I do. We're talking about ambassadors. Maybe this will be the last ambassador show, but I can't guarantee that.
Could be.
Could be. And we're not going to do a summary because it takes too much time. But anyway, yeah. this series, you can go to the website, giftofgraceministries.org, and you can listen to the shows. And the last, I don't know, four or five of them at least, have been about ambassadors.
Yes. Are they all archived?
They're all archived.
They are all archived.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've gotten so good. I've gotten so technologically proficient that sometimes I can even put them on. Actually, I've been putting them on, but except you had to do the last few. So. Anyway.
Well,
that's all right. But we've been talking about, we started out with 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20, where Paul talks about how we're ambassadors for Christ and how we bring the message of salvation, we bring the message of the kingdom out of the embassy and into the world, which is the surrounding country. And
right.
We're not going to recap all that. And we left off on the last show, Stephen read what Paul wrote to Timothy, and we're going to continue with a different passage from Paul's second letter to Timothy. But you know, Timothy was a younger man, much younger man. Paul was his spiritual father. Timothy was a young pastor, we would call him in our days. I'm not sure what Paul calls him, but anyway, he was, you know, in charge of a church that Paul had planted, and Paul wrote a lot of instructions to him, and obviously they had a close relationship because Paul was a spiritual father to him. And you know, with that kind of a relationship, you learn a lot about each of the individuals. And we're gonna start by having Stephen read from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Remind people of these things and charge them before God to stop disputing about words. This serves no useful purpose, since it harms those who listen. Be eager to present yourself as acceptable to God, a workman who causes no disgrace, imparting the word of truth without deviation. Avoid profane, idle talk, for such people will become more and more godless. Excuse me. And their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have been deviated from the truth by saying that the resurrection has already taken place and are upsetting the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands, bearing this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord avoid evil.
Yeah. So these are instructions to someone who is a teacher, who's a pastor, who's a leader. And what does he tell them to do? He tells them to remind them of things that they already know. You know, we love to hear teaching about different things, and we love to hear people debate certain issues. And you know, if you ever hear high-level theologians talking about something, it's all very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But you always have to be reminded of the basics. You always have to be reminded of what you already know, because these are the foundations of the faith. Like, you can't read John's gospel, like, you know, too many times. You can't say, like, oh, yeah, we already know about all that stuff.
Yeah.
You are reminded of it. You're taught it over and over again, because we can't say how many times on this show and other places where I'm sure all of you go, you're reminded about our weaknesses and our failings and our sinfulness and our, rebellion. And, you know, we don't always walk around remembering all these things.
Right.
And sometimes we have to be refocused. You have to get your congregation refocused on what the basics are. Whether you're in Berea or whether you're in Youngstown, you know, in Berea, they'll check the scriptures to make sure what you're saying is true. In Youngstown, they don't necessarily.
I don't think that happens in Youngstown. You know. Cards and letters to fill if you're listening to this.
But, you know, you remind people, and you know, he talks about how, you know, you don't argue about different words, you know, because you ruin people, you break friendships. There's no profit in that.
Yeah.
And probably all of you listening don't have to think too long about a situation where you've had friendships ruined or you've had, you know, fellowships ruined because two people have started arguing about something.
About a word.
It doesn't have any base, any basis on which the faith is based, but they start to bicker and they divide over that. And as he said, it leads to the ruin of people.
You know, there's one thing, like when you study the word and you look at the translation from Hebrew and Greek.
Yeah.
You know, certainly there's certain words that mean they can, if they're translated incorrectly, that can give a different meaning
sure. To
the passage.
Yes.
And thus those points should be taken.
Mm-hmm.
But for a word, you know, for some words, you know, there's as Paul says, it just leads to a lot of division. And I've seen it over and over again in small communities and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. It leads to a lot of broken friendships.
Yeah.
And a lot of broken feelings.
Paul says it can lead to ruin. Pulls people apart.
You know, as you're saying about we can't forget the basics, the basic foundation of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that series that we did on the cross,
which
I think it was like 9 shows.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more central to our faith than the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without that, our faith is in vain.
Yes.
And we have nothing. So to drift away from that central point of our faith, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is foolishness.
Yes.
Because without it, nothing else really matters.
That's right.
Because if without Jesus Christ dying and rising, we're still in our sin.
That's right.
And we have no means of having any type of salvation or reconciliation with God.
Exactly. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 2 says, if we neglect so great a salvation, in other words, if we're going to neglect this salvation on the cross, then what are you left with?
Right.
Are you going to try to go back to the law and see how you can do with that? You're not going to do well.
Right.
Are you going to say, I'm just going to bag the whole thing? Well, then you're heading for eternal ruin.
Eternal damnation, yeah.
Eternal damnation, because there is no salvation outside of Christ and the cross. And this is why Paul says, I only preach Christ and Christ crucified. Mm-hmm. And this was at the core of it. And he didn't want divisions and arguments about things. He didn't want fellowships and friendships to be ruined. You know, he wanted to keep people reminded of the what the truth, capital T, was,
right.
is. I shouldn't say was, it still is, because the truth doesn't change. He says, don't strive about words.
Right.
And, you know, it pulls people away from important things. And then he goes on to say, we have to show ourselves approved. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you were saying earlier, you have to study the word. And in the last show, we talked about that too. You have to study the word. You have to take the time to do it. It's a constant study. It's a constant work. You don't just say, well, I think I'll read John's gospel today. You know, you can probably read through the whole thing in a little while. Mm-hmm. Say, okay, good, I read it.
Mm-hmm.
But the work and the study of it is look at every word. Look how every verse comes together. Look at what the reference from the Old Testament is. Look what the reference to the other gospel are. Look how someone else developed the, you know, this is how you study and you show yourself approved because then you learn the whole truth. And so he says, so that you're not ashamed.
Right.
In other words, you can't be superficial. You can't be lazy. It takes a lot of work to study the word.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't want to be ashamed because you don't want somebody coming up to you and saying, well, what did you think John meant when he says, and you say, I have no idea what you're talking about. John who? I don't know John.
I don't know anything about John.
Yeah. So you can't be superficial or lazy. Yeah. You know, the word, you have to understand the word of truth.
Right.
You divide the word of truth so that you understand it, so that you don't make up new ideas. You don't make up new beliefs. So the word isn't changed.
And teach false doctrines.
Right. So when somebody says something, you say, well, wait a minute. I just studied this a few days ago, and that doesn't sound right what this guy's saying.
Right. Exactly. Whether,
and it doesn't matter if he's in a pulpit. It doesn't matter if he's on Christian TV. It doesn't matter if he's the guy who works with you at the next desk. You can tell what's the right word of truth if you've studied.
Mm-hmm. And you don't want to, chase after a fresh word.
Right.
This is a new interpretation of what we've known for such a long time. You got to be careful. If we look at 2 Timothy a little bit further down on verse 20 in chapter 2, in a large household there are vessels not only of gold and silver but also of wood and clay, some for lofty and others mm-hmm. for humble use.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone cleanses himself of these things, he will be a vessel for lofty use.
Mm-hmm.
Dedicated, beneficial to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So turn from youthful desires and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace,
mm-hmm.
along with those who call on the Lord with purity of heart. Avoid foolish and ignorant debates, for you know that they breed quarrels. A slave of the Lord should not quarrel, but should be gentle with everyone, able to teach, tolerant, correcting opponents with kindness. It may be that God will grant them repentance that leads to knowledge of the truth, and that they may return to their senses out of the devil's snare where they are entrapped by him
mm-hmm.
for his will.
Mm.
You know, Satan likes to tempt us with the bait of offense.
Exactly.
You offended me by that.
Mm-hmm.
And we get trapped into that snare. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of snares that the devil likes to throw at us, but being offended is one of them. And it's a very useful one.
Yeah.
Because people get offended very easily.
Very easily.
And Paul is saying here, a slave of the Lord should not quarrel, but should be gentle with everyone, able to teach, tolerant.
Yeah.
Correcting opponents with kindness. And that God, in his grace, may grant them repentance and lead them to the knowledge of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the key. Mm-hmm. That they're led back into reconciliation with God.
Yes.
Because that's the message. That's the message of the gospel.
That's right.
That there's reconciliation.
Yes.
For sins through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Back to the Father.
That's the good news.
That's the good news.
And this is the message that we have as ambassadors. You know, back whenever we started this out in 2 Corinthians 5:19, Paul says, this is the message that we have. God is appealing through us for reconciliation. You know, this is exactly what you just said is the word. And, you know, Paul says, even back to that thing in 2 Timothy you just read, you know, we don't go into all kinds of babblings and end up changing something.
Right.
We don't end up changing the truth. We don't make up a different gospel.
Right.
All this other stuff is vain babbling.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't have that because he says false teachings lead to gangrene. You know, gangrene's a deadly infection that if mm-hmm. it starts in your foot, if you don't amputate the person's leg, they're going to die from the infection.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so bad and it travels so fast that the leg has to be amputated, mm-hmm. even if it's just on your foot. And this is, you know, Paul's making, they would have had a lot of experience in those days with gangrene
because mm-hmm.
there were no antibiotics.
Right.
Infections were deadly.
Yeah.
I mean, most people died because of an infection of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, leprosy, pneumonia, I mean, whatever it was. So they had a lot of experience with this. So Paul compares this false teaching to a gangrene. It can spread really fast.
A deadly infection.
Yes.
And see, you bring up a good point there because in our culture today, we have, you know, I mean, there's the marvels of modern medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many reports of gangrene do you hear about?
Mm-hmm.
Do people know what it is?
Mm-hmm. That's right. No one worries about it anymore.
Right. But a deadly infection that can't be stopped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what do you do? Yes. How do you stop it?
Yes.
And in that day and age, like you said, if it started in the foot was cut off to stop it.
Right.
So that the person can live.
That's right. You lose your leg, but you live.
Right.
If you don't cut the leg off, the person dies from the infection.
Exactly. And so Paul's likening this to an infection that will spread like that throughout the body
mm-hmm.
of Christ with this false teaching and mm-hmm. false gospel. And how devastating it can be to the body.
Yes.
Because a false teaching will bring death to the body.
That's right. That's right. And this is the reason he uses gangrene as the example. Because Paul knew when someone had a gangrenous looking foot, they were going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in those days, they probably didn't do amputations. Or if they did, it was so horrible that a person would have rather died.
Yeah.
But a false gospel, a false teaching can spread through a congregation. It can spread through a community. And when you look at the ancient heresies of the first few centuries, you know, many of the great fathers of the church stood against these heresies.
Right.
Many of the church councils of the early days were called to combat a heresy.
Exactly.
Now, you know, if they had to call a council, that means there were a lot of people who were subscribing to this heresy.
Yeah.
It wasn't like there were five people in Constantinople that thought that.
Right.
You know, it was big.
Well, you bring up an excellent point there, because some people don't understand, well, why were there these councils
mm-hmm.
in our church history?
Yeah, yeah.
What were they for?
Mm-hmm.
Was it to make up their own teaching and to make up their own doctrine? Far from it.
Right.
It was to correct the heresies that were present at that day and time. And like you said, if there was a council that was called, it was serious.
Yes.
That teaching was spreading, and it was the church's
mm-hmm.
by the church's authority
mm-hmm.
that they were to correct that heresy and stop it from spreading.
Yes. And there were many.
Mm-hmm.
And many, I don't know, probably all, but most or all heresies, most or all false teachings have a kernel of truth to them.
Right.
And that's what makes it more believable. And this is, again, like you said, what Satan uses.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of it sounds plausible.
Right.
So when somebody develops it in a false way,
mm-hmm.
a certain number of people are going to say, oh, yeah, you know, now this guy's got a different take on this. This sounds pretty good
mm-hmm.
compared to what most of the priests and pastors have been saying.
I don't like what Paul's saying, but I like this other guy saying.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, this is good too.
Ooh, this is a good song.
I love this song. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
When they see the house of the Lord running to his peaceful kingdom, shouting, they lay down their swords. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Spirit of burning, let your beautiful fruit shine forth. Then everyone who's left inside will be called holy forevermore. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways.
rise and shake the earth so mightily. Send your glory all across the land. Then everything that's proud and lofty will bow down before the Son of Man. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. To the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Over all the glory, there will be a covering. Cloud and smoke all through the day, flaming fire all through the night. Tabernacle for the shade, shelter from the pouring rain. When the Lord is washed away, the blood of his attire.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Should I say it? That was an awesome song. That's from Isaiah chapter 2. You can read that for your homework.
Is that one of your favorite songs?
Ooh, yes.
One of your most favorite?
One of my most favorite.
Paul Wilbur songs?
One of my most favorites. Anyway, we have to have Paul back on the show.
Yeah.
This has been a show for like 3 years.
He's traveling too much.
Traveling too much. Yeah, it's hard to keep traveling touch the with globe. Him. Yeah. You know, like one day he's in Peru, a couple days later he's in
Ecuador,
Ireland, a couple
France.
Days later he's in California. I mean, I can't keep track of him anymore. Anyway, what were we just talking about? Oh, yeah.
are we talking about the Apostle Paul or with Paul Wilbur?
No, we're talking about the Apostle Paul.
Oh, okay.
So because these heresies, because false teachings are usually built on a kernel of truth or some truth, this makes the spread of the gangrene even faster.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know the word, if your house isn't built on the rock, if you're not so familiar with the truth, you can be easily sidetracked by these things.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's telling Timothy, you got to stand against that. You got to be an ambassador. I mean, these guys that he mentions, Hymenaeus and Philetus, you know, they've done some kind of horrible thing. I don't know the details about it, but said, oh, the resurrection of the dead's already happened and blah, 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 whatever. And so people get upset because people who are not grounded in the truth hear a false teaching. And then if they say, oh, wow, if what he's saying is true, I've been messed up all this time. And they cause all kind of conflict. And Paul is telling Timothy he's got to stand against this because he's the one who's the ambassador. He's the one that has the true teaching. He's the one who has to live as an ambassador.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Paul's pointing this out to Timothy because, as you said, Timothy is a young disciple. But Timothy's also been called to be a leader, to be a servant.
Yes.
And, you know, an ambassador is chosen, in worldly terms, an ambassador is chosen because their status, their education, their ability to dialogue with people, mm-hmm. you know, a long list of things.
Yes.
And not that God doesn't use those things right. humanly, but as disciples, God doesn't always choose those who are well qualified from worldly standards.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he does.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he doesn't. He's going to choose those who are going to be humble enough to serve him
mm-hmm.
and be available to be used by him.
Yes.
And I know you and I have both had conversations where, you know, where we will talk honestly about, we see someone and we go, that person? And it's like, I always think, you know, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have looked at that.
Exactly.
I'm looking in worldly terms.
Yes.
And I'm not seeing as God sees.
Exactly.
So we see it over and over where somebody, this lowly, humble person God will raise up mm-hmm. and use.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't, you know, because as Paul says, it is in weakness that power reaches perfection.
Exactly.
That person can be weak,
mm-hmm.
but they have to rely on the strength of God.
Yes.
To do what they have to do.
Yeah.
And they're not relying on their own power.
Yeah.
And any minister who tries to rely on their own power eventually is going to get to a place where they're going to have to rely on God.
Yeah.
Because it's not what it's about.
That's right.
It's about preaching that message.
Yeah. You're not an ambassador if you're doing your own thing.
No. And hence ambassador. I mean, that's the whole premise of what we're talking about for these last several shows
mm-hmm.
is that we're not doing our own thing and we are submitting to God's will.
Mm-hmm. I learned a very powerful lesson probably about 10, 12 years ago now where my wife and I were working at a kitchen, you know, feeding homeless people. And there mm-hmm. was this elderly man there who lived in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over to see how he was doing and he was a pleasant older guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, it was near Christmas time. And I asked him he said, well, you know, I don't get any Christmas presents. And I said, well, what would you like for Christmas? And he said, I'd like a Bible. And I said, really? And I go, yeah. I go, I'll get you a Bible. He goes, oh, that'd be awesome. So I said, which edition do you want? Which, you know,
uh-huh.
King James, large print, you know, whatever it is. So, you know, I ran out to a Christian store and bought this guy a Bible. So I thought, oh, man, I'm going to buy this guy a Bible because, you know, I'm so awesome. I'm just going to go get this guy a Bible. What does this guy possibly know about anything?
Mm-hmm.
So he takes the Bible, you know, and he wanted me to write something in it, like a little inscription or something. And I said, mm-hmm. well, what do you want me to write? He goes, well, whatever you think. So I wrote a little message to him. And I go, so have you studied the Bible? And he goes, of course. Of course. And I go, really? I go, what's your favorite story? So he started talking about something. So after a few minutes, I was like, wow, this guy knows the scriptures. So then we went on and we went on and we mm-hmm. went on. And then he said to me, yeah, he goes, I'm a homeless guy and I've had a lot of time to think and I've had a lot of time to read. I've had a lot of time to study. And he says, when I minister to other guys who are homeless, it has impact because they know I'm just like them and I'm taking them the word of God.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, I just sat back in my chair and thought, I thought I was doing something great by buying this guy a Bible.
Yeah.
This guy's out in the street preaching the gospel. It was very humbling.
Wow.
Very humbling. Wow. That was very awesome.
That's an awesome.
Yeah. You know, here's this homeless wow. guy, elderly guy, you know, he's living out in the street, but he's an ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
More so than maybe a lot of theologians, maybe more so than professors at a Bible college, mm-hmm. maybe a lot more than, you know, the guy who lives out in the nice suburb somewhere and has a big house. I mm-hmm. mean, anybody can be an ambassador.
Yeah. You never know.
Yeah. It's not about your socioeconomic status.
No, it's not.
And he's not ashamed of the word. You know, he doesn't go to his fellow street people and say, oh man, you know, if God was nice, he wouldn't have let us end up like this. You know, I don't want to talk about God because look how we're living, man. We're living out in the street. This is no good. No, he's preaching the gospel to these guys. And I got him a new Bible and I was like so happy I got the guy a new Bible. I never saw him again. I don't know what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he was an ambassador. He wasn't ashamed of the word.
Yeah.
You know, if you're ashamed of the gospel, that's bad.
And he wasn't ashamed to live in the conditions that he was living
in. That's right.
To take the message.
The word has power. You know, the message of the cross, as we've said many times, has power. Our input into it is not what's important.
Right.
Our opinions about it aren't what's important.
No.
You know, we don't have to worry about, you know, making apologies for the word or making apologies for God.
Right. And we don't have to amplify the volume of our voices when we're exactly. proclaiming the message as if it's going to make it more powerful.
That's right. Yeah, no. That's right. And Paul understood that. I mean, he was willing to be imprisoned. He was willing to be chained. He was willing to be shipwrecked because he's preaching this word. He wasn't preaching his own word. He was preaching this word of truth. He knew where he had gotten the word. Mm. And he knew what the authority was that he was preaching the word from.
Right.
He had met Jesus personally in a very powerful way. So he knew where the authority was,
and
he knew that this was the truth.
Oh, yeah.
And he wasn't ashamed. You know, in Luke 9:26, Jesus says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." So if you're ashamed of me, if you're ashamed of my word, I'm going to be ashamed of you. If you're going to be unwilling to stand up for me, unwilling to stand up for my word, unwilling to stand up for truth, then I'm going to be ashamed of you.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't even tell your coworker something or tell your next door neighbor something, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Look what I did for you.
Yeah.
So if you are ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. And this happens to things in everyday life. Discussions that you have at work, discussions that you have in your front yard, discussions that you have at your church, discussions that you have anywhere.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, when he comes in his glory, you know, he's talking about also the second coming, not just your discussions in the backyard. He's talking about when he comes back. He's going to say, you were ashamed of me, so now I'm ashamed of you.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to go back to 2 Timothy 1 in verse 6, where he says, "For this reason, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that that you have through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and of self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God." And, you know, Paul talks about, and I think it's somewhere here in Timothy, 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy, where he says, you know, he was the foremost of sinners because he was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor.
Yes.
And he was persecuting those who believed in God.
Yes.
And see, Paul thought what he was doing was righteous. He thought he was saving that's the word I'm looking for. Paul thought that the early believers were really blaspheming against the law
and idolaters.
And he thought that he was being righteous in doing what he was doing.
Yes.
But yet he was persecuting those who actually believed in the gospel.
Yes, exactly.
And by the grace of God, you know, he says that God chose to use him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we see that God takes an ordinary person, you know, Saul of Tarsus was a little bit more than an ordinary person, but since he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, but God can take an ordinary person and use them for extraordinary things.
That's right.
Amazingly tremendous things for the kingdom of God.
That's right. Imperfect messengers with a perfect message. And you know, we always have to go back to the culture and society that we're living in now. You know, the things of Christ are despised now. I mean, despised. It's not even just like, oh, well, you know, we don't think that much about it. They're despised.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to be salt and light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the Lord is spoken against, when his word is, people speak against the word, against his law, against his moral law, against him himself, we're ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
We're ambassadors. You know, let's go back to Morocco. If you go to Morocco as the American ambassador and you go out onto the street of the city and you hear people saying, oh, we hate America, we hate Americans, we hate, you represent America. Mm-hmm. So when people rail against Christ, against the gospel, against the Bible, against the law, we are his representatives. We're his ambassadors.
Right.
Do we stand there and not say anything? Are we gonna be ashamed? Are we gonna mm-hmm. be afraid? Then he says, okay, great. If you're ashamed and if you're afraid, then I'm gonna be ashamed of you mm-hmm. before my Father. Remember, he sits at the right hand of the Father, making constant intercession for us, it says in the book of Hebrews. He's the high priest who makes constant intercession for us. He's going to be ashamed of us if we're ashamed of him. If we're afraid to speak up for him, he's going to be ashamed of us. He's not going to reward that worldly spirit. If we get a worldly spirit, well, we don't, oh, well, you know, I don't want, I'm going to feel bad if I say this, and I don't want this guy to think I'm crazy, and I don't know, he might get mad. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be rewarded
yeah.
because that's not what it's about.
Right. You know, and as we mentioned just earlier, you know, Paul's telling Timothy, correct someone, but do it in love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's some people like to talk about righteous anger, those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when Jesus was in the temple and he overturned the money changers' tables,
mm-hmm.
he was angry
yeah.
because they were turning the temple mm-hmm. into a den of thieves.
Yeah.
If we go in and do that, are we really being a good ambassador for Christ? Well, Jesus did it, so I can do it.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus had that. Jesus was the authority.
Yeah. Don't go turn the pews over in your church.
Don't go turn the pews over in your church. Exactly. I guess what I'm saying is our conduct is very important as mm-hmm. how we conduct ourselves in our relationships with others. And what do they see in me as an ambassador of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Do they see a light? Do they see the patience? And, you know, as this is what I was looking for earlier, it's in 1 Timothy 1 where Paul says, this is from 16, but for that reason, I was mercifully treated so that in me as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display all his patience as an example for those who would come to believe in him for everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that God would choose Paul, Saul,
mm-hmm.
who stood by and watched Stephen get stoned,
mm-hmm.
that he would choose to use him as an ambassador
yeah.
for his message.
Yeah.
A most unlikely candidate.
As are we.
As are we. You know, so much so that all the disciples, all the apostles were like, you want me to go to see Saul of Tarsus? You must be mistaken, right?
Yeah. You know about this guy?
Have you heard what he's been doing, Lord? So it shows us, I think it shows us really that the ambassadorship is not something that I have a right to,
mm-hmm.
or that right. I can say, I've been a member of this church for 25 yes. years, and it's time that I start teaching yes. God's word.
And I'm worthy of being
I've earned it.
I've earned it. Yeah.
I've earned my ambassadorship.
Yeah.
No, not so fast.
Mm-hmm.
God appoints those whom he chooses.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if we try and take a place of authority or leadership in a ministry and haven't been given or haven't been chosen by God to do that ministry,
mm-hmm.
we do irreparable harm to the body of Christ.
That's right. And he may give that homeless guy I mentioned a higher place in heaven than he's going to give me,
yeah.
or than he's going to give someone who's been doing some other kind of work because the guy has been following the instructions, he's been an ambassador, he's been following the commands, he's
yeah.
been doing his will, he's more surrendered. You know, that's not up to us to decide.
Yeah.
He didn't earn that, I didn't earn that, you didn't earn that. We don't earn that position.
Right. He calls
us. And it's not based on our ability, mm-hmm. our education, and it's not based on how smart we are, how good we are.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be willing to do it. We don't get graded by how successful we were.
Right.
We get graded by our availability and that we tried to do it.
Right.
Otherwise, he's going to be ashamed.
It's like the two sons were they come out to see, or God, the father asks one son to do one thing and the other son to do another thing. But we're coming up on a break. We'll come back to that point after the break.
The Lion of Judah, the Lamb who was slain, you ascended to heaven and nevermore will reign. At the end of the age, when the earth you reclaim, you will gather the nations before you. And the eyes of all men will be fixed on the Lamb who was crucified. With wisdom and mercy and justice, you reign at your Father's side. And the angels will cry, Hail the Lamb, who was slain for the world, ruling by. And the earth will reply, You shall reign as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. There's a shield in our hand and a sword at our side. There's a fire in our spirits that cannot be denied. 'Cause the Father has told us, for these you have died, for the nations that gather before you. And the ears of all men need to hear of the Lamb who was crucified, who descended to hell, yet was raised up to reign at his Father's side. And the angels will cry,
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Well, this is some pretty powerful stuff we're going through.
Yeah,
whew.
It is.
And this, you know, when we have to keep in mind, too, and, you know, we know this as believers, and people who aren't believers don't know this, don't want to know this, but, you know, when Jesus came to earth as Jesus of Nazareth and lived a humble life, followed the law, he endured the cross.
Mm-hmm.
He endured the cross and was a servant. When he comes in glory, he's not going to be the meek and mild Jesus who endured the cross. He's not going to be the quiet, suffering servant. He's coming with fire in his eyes, a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth, a rod of iron in his hands, and his garments stained with blood. He's going to be a righteous judge who is coming to bring judgment to the world. And when he says, I'm going to be ashamed of you in front of my Father and the holy angels, this is not something to be taken lightly.
Right. Right. You know, right before the break, what I was looking at was Matthew 21 in verse 28. He says, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' He said in reply, 'I will not.' But afterwards, the son changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave him the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the father's will?" They answered the first. You know, so, and Jesus says to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw this, you did not later change your minds and believe in him."
Mm. Pharisees hate that.
Oh, yeah, the Pharisees did not like that.
Yeah.
But that message is for us today.
Exactly.
That message is for us today and everybody down through the ages who has been called, "Come, work in my vineyard."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, that message is for us today. So, and you're right, the Pharisees did not like that because Jesus pointed that out to them.
Yeah, when he says tax collectors and prostitutes are going into the kingdom before you.
Yeah, because the Pharisees, they were the righteous ones.
Yeah.
What do you mean they're going into the kingdom of God? We're the righteous ones. We're the ones that aren't sinning.
We wear the cool stuff.
And we can have the same type of a attitude. But Lord, I certainly don't sin.
Yeah. I'm not like that guy.
I'm not like that guy over there, that hypocrite.
Yeah.
You know, that sinner. Look at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we exalt ourselves, God will bring us to a place of emptying ourselves of that self-righteousness.
Yeah.
But when we empty ourselves of ourselves and allow God to use us and humbly come before God and acknowledge ourselves as he sees us, God can raise us up and do great things with us for the kingdom of God. And the light of God will shine through that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about us. It's about the message that we've been entrusted with to share so that others who are waiting to receive that message can receive that message and can enter into the kingdom of God.
Exactly. That's the great point, because we have the message. We have that good news of salvation. That God has offered unlimited mercy and grace to mankind, but there has to be a response to this.
Yes.
You can't just talk it into the air. It just doesn't apply to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a response.
Right.
It's not universal salvation. You know, the sacrifice of Jesus was sufficient for all. You know, like I always say, Hitler could have been saved had he repented at the end.
Right.
Because nothing can be beyond that. But not everyone responds to the message.
Right.
And we live in a time now where we're sure that hell doesn't really exist. And come on. Are you serious? You still believe in that stuff?
Right.
Well, you know, the reason that we're ambassadors, the reason that missionaries have gone out ever since, well, from Jesus' time to now, is to prevent people from going to hell, to save people from damnation. Now we don't take that seriously.
Right.
Our culture has decided, oh, that's just a big joke. You know, the devil's become a caricature with a little pitchfork and a little tail. And like, who could be afraid of him? He's just a little cartoon character.
Yeah.
So this is all, and Satan loves this.
Mm-hmm.
And this has all been, you know, kind of put out there in the culture. So when you talk to people about hell and damnation, they think you're nuts.
Yeah. They don't, we don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
It's too hard of a message. It doesn't make me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel bad.
Exactly.
Well, if the message makes you feel bad.
Yeah.
If the message is affecting me in such a way that I feel uncomfortable, then maybe I need to examine my own heart and ask God, Lord, show me.
Yeah.
Show me my heart. Show me my mind and my thoughts and my actions and what I do. Is it bearing fruit for your kingdom? And if it's not, and you're really humble and you're really sincere at asking God that question.
Yeah.
And you ask him to help you change. He's going to help you change.
Exactly.
That's right. But there has to be a response.
There has to be a response. There has to be conversion. There has to be metanoia.
Right.
There has to be transformation.
We're not robots.
Right. Which then leads to a willingness to serve. You know, like we always, Steve and I always like to use the word hineni. We say, here I am, Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been transformed. I've been converted. I'm ready. You know, hineni, here I am. What do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
You want me to be an ambassador? Okay. Where do you want me to go?
Yeah.
Not, well, I don't know. You know, I'll do that, but only under these circumstances. It's the response has to be complete surrender, because the message is, there is no more important message. And, you know, we say we're not worthy to be ambassadors. And, you know, a couple of shows ago, we did that passage from 2 Corinthians where Paul says, we bring life and death to people.
Right.
You know, our little dopiness, we go to a place, we bring life and death.
Yeah.
You know, we can confront somebody with the gospel who absolutely rejects it, and you've brought them death.
Yeah.
Or they accept it and say, oh, yes, and you've brought them life.
Yeah.
Whereas 5 minutes ago, they didn't have that.
Yeah.
And we're nobody. We're carrying the message.
Yeah.
Because it's not us that's doing it. It's the power of the message that's doing it, and the Holy Spirit acting on that person. Right.
I mean, we can simply extend our hand to someone and pray to them and
yes.
say just as Paul and, going up to the temple, the guy that was crippled.
Mm-hmm.
Gold and silver I do not have, but what I do have,
free, yeah.
In the name of Jesus, arise and walk.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be some lengthy, drawn out, deep theological prayer.
Yeah.
It just has to be a simple prayer of sincerity.
Yeah.
And trust in God,
yes.
And let God work it out through
that's
that
right.
other person.
That's right.
We're simply the messenger.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
The end of the show. Well, I don't know if we're going to do more ambassador stuff or not, but tune in next week to find out. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that God will transform your heart, your mind, and your soul to be that light and that person that He has created you to be. God bless. Have an awesome week, everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.